Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Monday. Happy Hump Day. This is Gray Eye Smith, and you're listening to The Art of Seduction, a late night poets production. We are a poetry group on allpoetry.com, and we also have anthologies available on amazon.com under the same moniker of late night poets. So feel free to check those out and help support these shows. All right, that said, I'm going to head to the studio here, and we'll see who's here. Hello, area code 415. Who's calling, please?
This is Socrates. What's up, guys?
Hey, how you doing, Socrates?
I'm all right.
Cool.
You know, just...
Thank you for calling in.
Good
to hear your voice.
Hey.
Awesome. Just want to bring on the next caller here. Hello and welcome, Pam. Pam Ray.
Hey, Jim. Yes. Hello, Gray Eyes, and hello, Socrates. Good to hear you both. Looks like an awesome lineup of poetry tonight, Gray.
Yeah, exactly. We have a lot of SoundClouds tonight as well, so that'll be good.
Nice.
Absolutely. And how are you doing, Pam?
I am doing great. It's been a nice, calm day, relaxing, and just looking forward to, you know, hanging out with you, other cool poets, and just delving into some hot poetry, and, you know, life is good. How about you?
Ah, awesome. I'm doing well, thank you. I appreciate you calling in and spending your time. All right, so, Socrates, do you have to read and run? Or are you able to hang out?
So I'm here all night.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Yeah. All right, I'm going to grab the first poem here. And I'll post this to the group. Okay, Socrates, I've posted the first poem. If you wouldn't mind giving out a read for me, please.
Sure. The Dance of Death by T. Perry, 898. Wrapped, cocooned in eerie silence, bosom heaving in and out, frozen fingers grip me tightly, my resistance starts to melt. Punish me and resurrect me, lust is screaming in my soul, sinful master, slay your victim, kiss my neck and make me whole. Trapped inside a veil of silence, yearning for release, take of sustenance, consume me, whispers beauty to the beast. Waltzing slowly, senses tingle, promise me an endless night. As your fingertips caress me, I'll appease your appetite. Spinning round and round in circles, love is such a bitter pill. Sighing sweetly, breath is ebbing, while my lover takes his fill. Evil count, I'll do your bidding. Beauty takes her final breath, body slowly merged together in the endless dance of death. End poem.
Beautiful read. And I like it, you know, I like the passion in it, you know, the desire. It's filled with incredible imagery as well, but you can feel that passion and desire, especially in that last stanza where he says, spinning round and round in circles, love is such a bitter pill, sighing sweetly, breath is ebbing, while my lover takes his fill. Evil count, I'll do your bidding. Beauty takes her final breath. Body slowly merged together in the endless dance of death. Excellent, right? And great read. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is a wonderful dark central write. It has great rhyme and flow, great imagery. I really like the sense of movement in it, especially when it brings in lines like waltzing slowly, senses tingling. You know, and I like how it's about that addiction to a love or to perhaps even the personification of death and the idea of death romancing somebody. Wonderful lines all the way through, beautifully written and very well done.
Exactly. Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Socrates, you read it. What did you think?
I think this is so beautiful. I believe this is about vampires because he mentioned the counts, the evil counts. But it's also about beauty and the beast, which is a type of devilish creature, I think. It's really nice, you know, it's really sensual. And, you know, I love the last line where it says, evil count, I'll do your bidding. Beauty takes her final breath. Body slowly merged together in the endless dance of death. You know, the evil count can be just counting numbers, or it can be like, you know, Count Dracula or something like that, you know, but like, then he says, beauty takes her final breath, and maybe that's what they were counting all up. So I like this. It's a really good poem. Very good job.
Are you on mute, Gray? Well, that was a great comment there, Socrates. And I'm not quite sure what happened to Gray. I think maybe he's just realized he's on mute or something.
No, maybe? Sorry, I had a phone call. I apologize.
Oh, okay.
But, well, no, fantastic. Fantastic read, Socrates, and a great comment as well. All right, so let me grab the next one here.
You do
if
have
you
a caller on hold, Gray.
Oh, do I? Okay, thank you. I'll bring this caller on first. Hello, area code 111. Who's calling, please?
Hi, Naomi. Hi, Gray. Hi, Cam.
Naomi.
Hi, Socrates. Is there anybody else on?
No, that's it.
Ah, well, hello to you three then.
Glad
to be here.
Us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Awesome, awesome. Did you get a chance to hear the last poem that was read?
No, not really, Gray. Sorry, I'll read it after and leave a written comment. But yeah, my computer is kind of, I'm fighting with it here. It's going to be up. It's coming along. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
I've got the next poem here, and she has a SoundCloud, so I will play that. If I can find it. Oh, here. All right.
I'm a southern belle, and Aunt June taught me the perfume of roses can mask the stink of hell. I'm bid to smile sweetly at gentlemen callers, induce them to sample the goods as I sell. Dusk brings them out, lust makes them stay, to enjoy what I supply to all by the hour. Always pure, although many have used me, still each one thinks I am an untouched flower. Now 150, I never age. I was turned at 15. My dead black heart leads men down to damnation. Waste no sympathy on these vilest of creatures. They are judged. There is no hope for their salvation. I am allowed to pick one slug each month to have fun with. It's not a game of cat and mouse. I'm more a connoisseur. I indulge, but not enough to stop my plaything's heart. I take my time, enjoying what's become the plat du jour.
Beautiful read. And what a poem. I mean, it speaks to, it's very sad, you know, it's, I'm allowed to pick one slug each month to have fun with. It's not a game of cat and mouse. I'm more a connoisseur. I indulge, but not enough to stop my plaything's heart. I take my time enjoying what has become the plat du jour. Yeah, very epic, right? It's kind of sadistic and innocent at the same time. You can feel the innocence through the words and, you know, she's been changed by her situation. So beautiful, right? Excellent read as well. What did you think, Socrates?
I think this is just so well done. I mean, like, the fact that she's, like, this, you know, this, like, street vampire, you know, that, like, takes all, like, the, you know, child pedophiles off the street kind of, I think, it's very dexterous, like, you know. It's a good poem, I think, you know. It's like, if there was a bad vampire, I feel like this would be my favorite kind of vampire, you know. That's my opinion.
Well, thank you, Socrates. I appreciate the comment. All right, Pam, what did you think?
This was a wonderful take and twist on the vampire story. I love that she decided to go with a vampire that is a Southern belle. So she has all the mannerisms of a Southern belle. And I thought it was really cool that she went with a picture of a Scarlett O'Hara from Gone with the Wind. I do really like Dusk brings them out, lust makes them stay, to enjoy what I supply to all by the hour. Always pure, although many have used me, still each one thinks I am an untouched flower. You know, just wonderfully, wickedly dark sensual lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I agree with Pam. This is dark, dark and sinful and, and twisted. You know, she's this little Southern belle and everybody thinks she's goody-goody two-shoes, but, you know, she's a vampire that picks a guy out each month to have fun with and, you know, and Plood Jewel is the meal of the day, you know, so she has fun with him and she becomes her meal for the day. So, you know, great write again by Kate, you know, my gracious, she can spin a tale, that girl. And, this is just amazing, amazing weaver of dreams and, bravo, bravo, such a great write.
Beautiful comment. Thank you. I appreciate your wonderful comment. All right, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. This is called Child of the Moon by Stelina. And it won't pick up. I'm going to refresh my page. There we go. And she also has a SoundCloud, so we'll play that. I don't see it. Uh-oh, I don't see her SoundCloud.
Well, oh, I see it. Just scroll down past where it says AOS,
okay.
Single Bad Sons, and then AOS Selena.
I got it, thank you.
On the advent of the full rising moon, in its blue-tinted caress, an eerie silhouette, stark, unearthly being disgorged from its throat, parched for the quaff of scarlet sweetness, stalks the veiled forest. As the transformation invades him, with Tartarian tremors and twists, bones cracking, and contorting into their lycanthrope contours. Torturous transfiguration sweeps throughout his body. Dagger-like fangs emerge from his drool-dripping mouth, with thick spines of hair sprouting from every oozing pore, like burning needles, searing his human flesh like hot razors. He rears up on his hind quarters, bathing in the pearlescent lake. Soft, full, pink-tipped pertness spill out. Yellow eyes gleaming at the sight, lubriciously leering, he lunges. Screams die in her throat as he buries himself in her beauty. Bewitched, she is wanton and willing for the taste of lupine love. His eyes turn red as his craving is fulfilled with her fresh, warm heart. Then, as the moon wanes, the macabre mutation ebbs away. Beneath his weight, hollow skin with crazed eyes stares up at him. Roughly hewn, yet provocative, he slumps, bone-weary, consumed, drinking greedily to replenish his sap. his appetite for bloodlust sated. A child of the moon, in repose until night falls once more.
That was dark. Really dark.
Yeah, that was. Absolutely. It was dark, well-worded, and engaging throughout the read. Fantastic imagery as well. But on the advent of the full rising moon in its blue-tinted caress, an eerie silhouette stark, unearthly, baying, disgorging from its throat, parched for the quaff of scarlet sweetness, stalks the veiled forest. I mean, that's just an epic beginning. And then roughly human, provocative, he slumps, bone-weary, consumed, drinking greedily to replenish his sap, his appetite for bloodlust sated, a child of the moon, in repose until night falls once more. Epic ending. Beautiful read and the right stelling. What did you think, Socrates?
I just love the style of this poem. Like, she doesn't use regular, like, stanzas, you know, she uses commas and periods. So it's more like a story than it is, like, an actual poem, and it's very prosy, you know, but it's, I love prose poems because they're just so packed with richness and detail, you know, and this is a really good poem, and I just love how, like, much she goes into detail of how like painful the transformation was for this wolfman, you know, and I love how in the end he eats his lover's heart, you know, and he becomes a wolf again, you know, and goes out and hunts for more. Thought that was pretty cool and a really big twist ending, you know, but yeah, this is amazing, you know, very gothic love it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Socrates. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
This was definitely an epic, dark write. I like how she wrote about the transformation of the werewolf and the appetite that needs to be sated. And I really like the imagery all the way through, especially bathing in the pearlescent lake. Soft, full, pink lips, pertness, spill out, yellow eyes gleaming at the sight, lubricously leering, he lunges. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Pam. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
You know what? Bravo. Bravo, bravo, bravo. What a dark right, Stelina. My gracious, he had me on the edge of the seat. And, you know, I was just drinking in every word. This just, you know, totally, you know, caught in every, you know, inch of me. It was just gripping onto the page there, swallowing it up the story as it went, as it unfolded. Just amazing, you know, from the vocabulary to the, you know, everything that's in here, just the imagery, the flow of the whole piece, how would she put it together? Amazing write. Bravo.
Absolutely. Thank you for that wonderful comment, Naomi. And I'd like to welcome Felon to the show. Hello, Felon.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Felon. Hi, Felon.
Hey. Hi, guys.
Felon.
Hi. Did you get a chance to hear the last poem that was read?
Yes. Yes, I did. Selena did an amazing performance of her piece. And I'll tell you this, he could break and crackle, but he could break and crackle me at the end, too. I wouldn't care. He could eat my heart after he gets done. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? This is an amazing write. I too like the same stanza that you like, Gray, which is bathing in the pure sweat, lake, soft, full, pink tip, partness, spill out. I mean, just wow, the descriptiveness of this poem is just amazing. It highlights every moment of his transition, and then makes you want to fall in love with him or be seduced by him. Yet at the same time, it's kind of a kind of thing. So, but still, just an amazing, amazing write. Way to go, Selena.
Thank you, Fallon. I appreciate your comment. All right, do you have to read and run, Fallon?
No, I'm here for a little while.
Okay, good. Just send me a message when you need to go.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to grab the next poem here. This is by the infamous Silk Black Rose, and he has a SoundCloud as well.
Scintillating Fetish by Silk Black Rose. The blood of your fetish runs the serrated edges of my fantasy. Crimson sucker that paints oblivion in scintillating shades of cascading suicide. I weave the stardust of my veins into spiring temples of desolate hunger, where the wings of your passion glide on ethereal moonfire. Quicksilver serenades that haunt these devil eyes, bleeding your songs upon my tongue, sirens to my sable heartbeats. Consume me, black flame, as I steal the lights of heaven to adorn the midnight of your hair. Dribble your sacred saliva across my lips so I may taste destiny in your wounded sighs, cutting my fangs in the cream of your flesh, delving deep your darkest desires, penetrating the gates of Eros as I swallow your harlotous moans, plucking your orgasms like grapes that gush betwixt my teeth with every bite. Salivating surrender, you sunder, offering thy blood in salacious sobs of unrequited lust, while I feast upon the passion of our unholy trust.
Well, another epic read and write. And I'd like to shout out to Frank. Hello, Frank. He's in the group. But no, this is a beautiful poem. You know, you can feel the hunger, you know, that he needs to feed. And, he finds a lover instead. And, she surrenders, and just a beautiful poem. Excellent imagery. You can feel the power of the desire in the right as well. And epic rights tonight and reads. Beautifully done. What did you think, Socrates?
I thought this was. I
thought this is amazing. I mean, like, it's just so, like, edgy, you know? It's like, just like, word after word, just like the amount of, like, metaphors and similes and all that stuff. It's just, it's crazy. Like, I've never heard such a packed, like, poem just full of these things, and it's just so unique because the hyperboles in them are just top-notch, you know? Like the one part where he says, consume me black flame as I steal the lights of heaven. I think that's fucking brilliant. I've never heard anything like that before, you know? But my favorite part is probably the end where he gets the the new girlfriend, you know, the salving, surrender, you sunder, offering thy blood. And I think that is what we all go through in life. You know, we all love someone, find out that they're not really the one for us, and we surrender to love. I think this is beautiful. Well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Socrates. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a wonderful dark sensual rite. It's got powerful imagery and metaphors and beautiful lines throughout. I especially like bleeding your songs upon my tongue, sirens to my sable heartbeats, consume me black flame as I steal the lights of heaven to adorn the midnight of your hair. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, I really like that stanza that Pam just recited, but I also liked, you know, dribble your sacred saliva across my lips so I might taste destiny in your wounded sighs, cutting my fangs in the cream of your flesh. You know, that and on all that stands, you know, to the end as I swallow your harlotous moans. You know, that is very, very sensual and dark. You know, just another amazing, amazing vampire sensual rite, dark rite tonight by Silk Black Rose. So amazing, amazing writing here. Amazing lines.
I agree. And what did you think? Thank you, Naomi. What did you think, Felon?
As always, Silk has got a smooth tongue. he never fails to deliver. I mean, and Socrates, if you've not read anything like that, you need to read some more of Silk's work. He is the king of all of this. He is an amazing writer when it comes to seductive. He swoos you. I mean, from the get-go, just, oh, my God. Just another flawless piece by him, and just makes you want to smoke a cigarette and go, damn, after reading this stuff.
Yeah.
So, wow, great job there, Silk.
Great comment. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. Nope, one poem. And if you wouldn't mind reading this, please, Naomi, that would be great. Betty Page.
Vamps by Betty Page. Oh, this is going to be good. Twisted carousels, haunting dark thrill rides, candies dancing in the street, strolling costumes, freaks. Vamps take motorcycle rides, jumping off bridges, swirling through mist, fog, flying high in ocean's breeze, descending to lair. Seduces sweetly by immortal wine we drink, crimson drips from lips, savoring fine taste from ancient golden goblets, taint sacred virgins. Immortal we be, piercing deeply numbs our prey, giving in to lust. End poem.
Beautiful read, Naomi. And I liked it, you know. I like the detail in the poem. Swirling through mist's fog, flying high in ocean's breeze, descending to lair. You know, that's fantastic language there and imagery as well. But immortal we be piercing, deeply numbs our prey, giving into lusts. You know, when you're taken, you know, there's definitely something very erotic about giving yourself away to a darkness, I guess, and being held whole in your soul. Yeah, just powerful, right? Beautifully read as well, Naomi. What did you think, Socrates?
I think this is beautiful. I love the first line, actually. Twisted carousel, haunted dark snow rides, candies dancing in the street,
seats. Is this the imagery, you know, it's just like so like wonderful, and it really paints a picture in your head, you know. I think the one line where it's the one of the last lines, seduces sweetly by immortal wine we drink, comes and drifts from lips. This is this reminds me of an old movie that I saw about immortal vampires drinking blood, you know, and they drink blood to stay immortal. It's very beautiful, you know. I think it's a really good poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Socrates. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this has a wonderful flow of imagery, a nice, delicate sensuality to it. I knew within that first couple of stanzas with the mention of motorcycle rides and jumping off bridges, even before looking down at the AN, that part of it at least was inspired by the Lost Boys. I really like that she went with the inspiration from two different, you know, sources of inspiration, the Lost Boys and Dracula. I thought these were just beautifully written lines. I especially like seduces sweetly by immortal wine we drink, crimson drips from lips. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And Bellin, what did you think?
I think each little stanza was a nice little trick or treat, like a little, you know, a treat. Each one just gave something, you know, enhanced to the next, to the next. It's like, you know, trick or treat going door to door, but it was stanza to stanza. So I too like the same ones that Pam liked, where it's a savoring fine taste from ancient golds, goblets, taints, sacred virgins. I think this is just a very very dark, but at the same time, it fits the prompt so well. So, and this is different for Betty Page for me. So I'm glad I got to see her in this this slide. I enjoyed it a great deal.
Great comment. And Naomi, you read the piece. What did you think?
Yeah, I got stuck on vamps, take my motorcycle rides, jumping off bridges. That's pretty dark there, jumping off bridges. But, the whole thing, Fallon said, yeah, it is like a trick-or-treat, you know, little treats every little stanza there all throughout. Just a brilliant write by Betty Page, that poet can do it, can write. So amazing, another amazing write by Betty Page here. Bravo, Betty Page.
Wonderful comment, Naomi. Thank you. All right, so let me grab the next poem. And if you wouldn't mind giving this a read, please, Bella, that would be great.
Okie dokie.
Oh. There we go.
Oh, yeah, you know, I will, Julie Buck. And this is by Julie Buck, and it's called Virgin Veins. Holding me, disturbingly spellbound, how delicious and arousing are your intoxicating lips of red. I relinquish to you my blood, sensual is the undead. A warning, though, beware of the spectacle. What is in you, I cannot fight. And you may hurt me and hurt me. But, oh, your amber eyes excite. Doomed woman with long hair of lust, your soul gone. And your stalking, clever, but darling, violent, only evil walks the earth forever. You exist in darkness, lonely, lonely. If the coldness held tears, would you cry for your haunted victims who you seduce, then watch them slowly die? A frenzy bursts, your fangs retreat to the internal wound deep within. You need to hurt, anger rushes to fill you, every sin. You are damned and cursed, vampire violet. They, beauty reigns. I ache to love, but your power's thirst for only virgin veins, virgin veins. End point.
Beautiful read. And, you know, I like that, you know, it gets into the psyche of the vampire and its need for virgin veins. You know, this person wants to be loved by the vampire, but power, his power thirsts for only virgin veins, virgin veins. Yeah, fantastic presentation. Beautifully written. An excellent read, Fallon. What did you think, Socrates? Hello, Socrates.
Wonderful poem. Sorry, I was muted. Wonderful poem. I love how evenly she spaces all her lines. Very creative. You know, the whole virgin veins thing, for me, I feel like just something people tend to overlook, you know? It's the virgin veins that the vampires, I blacked out for a second, I'm sorry. anyway, I think this whole, like, virgin vein thing is something that is quite powerful, really, in a lot of movies, you know, that I feel like they go for the virgins because the blood is more pure, you know, and all that stuff. So I think is just a love poem about someone who wants to get loved by the vampire, but the vampire doesn't want him. He wants the virgin, you know. So sorry it took me so long to say that, but that's just my thoughts.
Great comment, thank you, Socrates. And what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this had wonderful dark lines. It was a great weaving together of sensuality and darkness. I really like how it's about that addiction to the lust of the bite. And I really particularly like a frenzied verse, your fangs retreat to an eternal wound deep within. You need to hurt. Anger rushes to feel your every sin. Just amazing, strong lines and very well done.
Beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, yeah. Damn, Pam. You picked out the same two stanzas I did. Those two stanzas were really, you know, what really got me to, you know, that you feel all the rush in there and all the, you know, the deepness and the darkness of this person, this character right there, you know, her inner rage, you know, her want for these virgin veins right there, you know, it all bursts out. And, so well written, Julie Buck, you know, a great, great piece here. Bravo, you really captured the essence of you know, that character in that picture. So, awesome, awesome, right?
Comment, Naomi, thank you. And, Fallon, what did you think?
I really like this a great deal. What stood out the most to me is, if your coldness helped tears, would you cry for your haunted victims who you seduce? I like that because it's basically she's questioning herself. She's like, if you had a soul, or if you were anything, if the coldness within you had emotions, would it cry for them? Do you feel any remorse for what you did? No, she don't. She's just looking for the next. I love this. And I think that, you know, the virgin veins really speaks a lot because it's that first, like almost having like a first kiss with someone, that's that first bite into the neck, you know, just wow, amazing, right? Way to go, Julie.
Great comment, Bone, thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's by Poetic Picasso, and here's a SoundCloud, so I'll get that.
Great.
Yes?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but Frank says he's going to be here at the top of the hour, if you could hold off on his poem.
Okay, all right, thank you. All right, we've got one by Robbie. He has a SoundCloud as well. Robbie.
The Blue Wolf. He is as good as I. He is the time I wander. And I wonder how we came to be. Shapeshifters in time, is of destiny. for his time was short and so was mine, till I welcomed him in his frail body, for I could not come to grips with his passing. On the full moon he thought heaven was sent, but he knew on this trail he was bent. From thousands of miles he caught a scent, so we can die on, shape-shifting in and out of form. But we never chose hell as the norm. No, we never told each other of our scorn, for the full moon shone brightly that day, dancing and madly laughing near the river at his passing, lying next to my boy Blue on the floor, knowing what may come to pass to be. Well, all these things are beyond me, as we fade into the abyss, where nothing is amiss, each other's skulls cracked lovingly, an accident in time, as the mad laughing resumes, only pausing for rhyme, and comfort upon the couch, lying there like a louse, lying next to me was my destiny. And now it is hard to cry, unless I am mad in laughter, like inhaling laughing gas. I am pushing faster toward that dead end. And I still visit him in these days of ages, fur and ashes to be spread. Wherever we wish, that is our seeds to sow. And whatever it is, we know that is ours alone to keep. As if we knew our words would seep blue in and out of our soul.
Fantastic read, and I really liked it. You know, it personifies the character of the werewolf, you know, and he's a human too, and they both died together, and yet still, you know, they can be bound in these day of ages for an ashes to be spread. Wherever we wish, that is our seeds to sow, and whatever it is we know, that is ours to keep, alone to keep, as if we knew our words would seep, blew in and out of our soul. Excellent, right? And fantastically read as well. What did you think, Socrates?
Oh, man, I thought this poem was just gorgeous. You know, the whole, like, you know, lying next to my boy Blue on the floor, knowing what may come to pass to be. Well, all these things are beyond me as we fade into the abyss where nothing is amiss. He lost his little boy, his little wolf boy. You know, it's sad, you know, but I guess that's the life whenever, you know, you're a werewolf and you live like a soldier, you know. This is a really good poem. I think the last part's good too. And I still visit him in these days of ages, fur and ashes to be spread, where we wish that is our seeds to sow, whatever it is we know that is ours alone to keep. You know, it's sad, you know, it's a little boy, you know. But it's also a really cool poem because I like werewolves. And that's just my thoughts, you know. I don't want to take the whole thing up.
Thank you, Socrates. I appreciate it. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this had strong imagery and metaphors. I like that it's got a romanticism to it, and that it's the main message is the idea of someone you're so close to that you share both life, love, and death with them. I really liked the imagery throughout, and especially, but he knew on this trail he had been from thousands of miles, he caught a scent, so we can die on shape-shifting in and out of form. Just beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is a, you know, a really sad, but, you know, a great write. You know, each other's skulls cracked lovingly, an accident in time, as the mad laughing resumes, only pausing for rhyme. Yes, that says a lot there, that stanza. And, you know, this second to last stanza also really got me there. You know, it's hard to cry unless I'm mad in laughter, you know, and all the other lines there in that stanza. Yeah, really touched me. But excellent writing here all throughout. Bravo. I don't know this poet, but wow, bravo. Excellent writing.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Bellin, what are your thoughts?
I've got a totally different view on this. I see that this person is one and the same. This is him being human and then him being a werewolf. And that this person, you know, he visits it because, I mean, right here it says, and I still visit him in these days of ages for an ashes to be spread, you know, and that's just of himself, you know, shedding the skin of himself. And we're in just the beginning. He said, he, as good mm-hmm. as I, he is the time I wonder, and I wonder how we came to be. But that's what tells me he's all the one and the same. It's not two people. It's not someone else that died. It's the beast within him is what I see. I mean, I might be totally wrong, but I think this is cleverly written and a great write.
Awesome comment, Ellen.
Excellent comment, Ellen. Thank you. All right. I'm going to grab the next piece here. Let me get this posted up. This is by Arcana M. Moore. And he has a SoundCloud. Put the 30 up, okay. There it is.
In our mystical marriage to midnight magic, we dance the darkness in sanguine serenity. Our eternal embrace shall ne'er cleave asunder as we waltz through veils of languorous sighs. Your pale perfection reflects the moonlight as stars blaze brightly within your eyes. You capture my stare with enticing spells that demands be sated in prisms of pleasure. Just you and I, my elegant enchantress, we entwine in timeless trysts of passion, exploring each other with delicious devotion. Midst cascading cloaks of nocturnal rapture, our tongues taste desire in wanton abandon as they caress our crevices of pallid flesh. In writhing crescendos engulfed in ecstasy, we make love in the satin embrace of night. This immortal flame that burns between us shall endure the temporal fabric of time. Though centuries pass by like changing seasons, the connection we share shall never fade. Like blood, we bleed through veins of shadows, sharing our kisses midst sensual storms that drain the hearts of beating nectar, feasting on forlorn fates with fervor. With eager endeavor, we melt together. Side by side, we slumber from break of dawn. patiently awaiting the breath of twilight. For our undying obsession to arise as one.
Wow, that was another fantastic read and epic write as well. Okay, thank you, Pam. I appreciate it. All right, so yeah, that was a fantastic read and write. I really loved it. You can feel their passion and their desire. And it's just so detailed, you know. Our tongues taste desire in wanton abandon as they caress our crevices of pallid flesh in writhing crescendos engulfed in ecstasy. We make love in the satin embrace of night. Yeah, just such a beautiful poem. Yeah. You know, this is ethereal and eternal love. Beautifully expressed. All right. What did you think, Socrates? Hello, Socrates? Hello, Socrates? Okay, I guess he must be busy. Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, this is amazing. Of course, I was drawn to the same stanza as you, Gray. But, you know, the one with the, like blood we bleed through veins of shadows, sharing our kisses mid sensual storms that drain the hearts of beating nectar, feasting on forlorn fates with fervor. And he goes on to that last stanza, you know, on dying obsession to arise as one. You know, what a finale there. Yeah, just an amazing write filled with, one awesome line after the other. So well done, so well written, so well laid out. Just beautiful, this write.
Absolutely, I agree with you. Wholeheartedly, Naomi. And Bellin, what did you think?
Oh, I love this. The last stanza is what really caught me. With eager endeavor, we melt together. Side by side, we slumber for break of dawn, patiently awaiting the breath of twilight for the underlying obsession to arise as one. The cadence in this is just spot on, and it's a very dark ride, but at the same time, very seductive, and it really offers up a really nice story and one of lustful. So, great job.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Bellin. And I'd like to welcome Senor Poetic Picasso to the show. Hello, Frank.
Hello, my friends. Hello there.
Hola, Frank. Hi.
Hello there.
Hi, Frank.
Hello, Naomi. It's good to hear from you. I was listening to the poem, if you want back and comment, or is there someone before me?
Yeah.
I'm not sure who else is on. All right. I thought this poem, first of all, was a fantastic film club. You know, he gives me prompts, and I have to give him prompts on the SoundCloud and performance as well. I love the way that he personifies, you know, in his voice, just the narrative of a storyline that he always writes. You know, this is a very seductive piece, but it's also a very enchanting piece there. And it has these elements and quality of seduction, and that of which we are associated to vampirism. You know, and I thought he did a fantastic job. I haven't been able to hear much of the poems tonight, fortunately, so I was busy. But this poem was just a magnificent poem, and hopefully the rest of the poems or the poems I missed are somewhat like this as well. It was a great job.
Great comment, Frank. Thank you. And welcome to the show. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
All right.
Always a pleasure. My friend. You're
sorry?
You know, it's always a pleasure when I can and when my phone cooperates as well. That's the main thing, yeah.
Absolutely. All right, so I'm going to grab your piece, Frank, and play that. Okay, putting it in the room. All right, here we go. Thank you.
sensual lips are drenched in the eroticism of crimson blood. The winds of the breath of my whisper stimulate your neck. Your blossoming breast begs for the passionate touch of my fingernails, undressing the sultry seams from the threads of your lace garments. I hypnotize you with the exotic spell of my mocha eyes, and sip slowly from the red wine of each wet nipple exposed, as you feel my silky ebony hair rubbing against the soft edges. You let out an orgasmic moan that shivers down your thighs. A Spanish lover with a naughty bite and vampiric hunger, I am the sinful lust of your sexual fantasies of untamed seduction, and we bathe in the vapor of the deep scent of our sweat. Amidst the moonlight howling of the bark of moors, we embrace in the moonbeams of our midnight moisture. My fangs press against the surface of your bare neck, drinking from the fountain of your wildest desires, as I make you the mistress of my immortal darkness. Eres flamante que desnudo tu cuerpo estremece con mis besos, y tu piel busca ser penetrado por la mordida de mi boca, absorbiendo las gotas de tus venas que llenan mi cáliz derramado. You are the lover that I enclose. Your body shakes from my kisses, and your skin seeks to be penetrated by the bite of my mouth, absorbing the drops from your veins that feel my chalice spilling. I am your vampiric lover.
Frank, amazing read and write. Your read is so engaging. You know, you can feel your passion to your words. But I really enjoyed the beginning. Your sensual lips are blunt in eroticism, crimson blood. The winds of the breath of my whispers stimulate your neck. Your blossoming breast begs for the passionate touch of my fingernails, undressing the sultry seams from the threads of your lace garments. I mean, how engaging is that? And then, where you say, you in that final stanza, you are the lover that I enclose, your body shakes with your skin seeks to be penetrated by the bite of my mouth, absorbing the drops from your veins that fill my chalice spilling. Beautiful, right? And excellent read as well, Frank.
Well, I enjoyed it. Can I say really... I want to say very quick, that prompted number 7, I'm not sure if you remember the prompt itself, but the prompt is very seductive. If you see the prompt, it's of a woman with the crimson blood. I think some of the as well, but that's my inspiration for this piece. So I commend you. I'm not sure if it was just you or Lou, I'm not sure, or both, but the prompt there was the one I used, prompt number 7. You did a fantastic job with that prompt. And this was what the reason what influenced this piece here. And that musical score, I have to say, I give credit to the interview with the vampire there, which is a score from musical score from the film mm-hmm. itself. So that's where I took the music from.
Cool, very cool. Awesome job, Frank. And Socrates, what did you think?
God, this poem was just so erotic, man. And I want to know Picasso. I want to know what that Spanish line was all about because I could not understand it, but it sounded beautiful. Now, this thing is almost gritty, you know, but, like, it's just words are so fruitful that I wouldn't count it as gritty, but it's just so well done, really, really good. You know, the middle line was just, oh, gosh. You know, great poem, Picasso.
Thank you. I'll go through that to my friend, whether it's morning or night, we all think about that.
Thank you, Socrates. Great comment. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, of course, Frank, you know, you wet all our sheets with your sensual rites and you spook all our bedrooms with your dark rites. So, of course, you know, you mix the two together here and, you know, you just get a phenomenal piece. You know, I really liked, I hypnotize you with the exotic spell, my mocha eyes, and sip slowly from the red wine of each wet nipple exposed. I really, you know, that is really very, you know, visceral and very in your face and very sensual. I love this piece all the way through, Frank. It's just amazing, amazing writing as always. And oh la la, hot, just got hot
that.
In the room.
No light bulb tonight, there, Naomi. No light bulb tonight.
That's it. Turn those light bulbs out. Put the. Okay, be good,
great
Naomi.
And Fallon, what did you think?
What really I liked a lot was we embrace the moonbeams of the midnight moisture. My fangs press against the surface of your bare neck, drinking from the fountain of your wildest desires as I make you the mistress of my immortal darkness. I bet your neighbors, if the female neighbors, if they hear you recording this, they are probably clean, they're probably covering up their necks and holding on to their crucifix and got a bunch of garlic around the door. I mean, for real. If they were to hear you recording this, they're like, oh, dear Lord, is that what I think it is? And then, you know, especially with your voice and stuff, if you were standing behind me, I would be like, the hair on the back of my neck would stand up. So this is just a very seductive rite, but yet at the same time, very dark. It's always a very stellar piece. Enjoyed it a great deal.
Well, I appreciate that. And that's my voice right there. That's my normal voice, of course.
Oh, Lord. I would have a chisel and, what do you call them, things, the things, the stake in the heart. I'd be walking around with you with those things.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Great comment, Bellin. Thank you. And so I've got the next piece up. This is by C.T. Dutchman. And it's called A Werewolf I Am. A werewolf is what I naturally truly am. It is what I will always and forever be, coexisting between two different worlds, both of the animal kingdom and of humanity. You may wonder how long I have existed, how old I actually honestly truly am. I have survived for many a millennia. Ever since time, as we know it, began. I have lived upon this very earth in secrecy for many, many a century, awaiting each month's full moon to appear, to temporarily release and set me free. Full moon power initiates my change. Transformation begins deep inside. I hastily strip naked, removing my clothes, releasing the werewolf within with ecstasy and pride. I turn and gaze in the mirror at my reflection. I see the flowing silver-black fur, amber glowing eyes, with powerful rippling corded muscles underneath, my true shape beneath my human disguise. Once a month in primary form, I get to be me. In the forest, run, hunt, howl at the moon. Sadly, time moves far much too quickly. Night's exhilaration closes, slips away too soon. As the sun rises, I transform back into human. Shedding my animal form, re-entering society, living as a human till next month's full moon. Well, when again will I become the primal true me? A werewolf is what I naturally truly am. It is what I will always and forever be, coexisting between two different worlds, both of the animal kingdom and of humanity. End poem. And in his author's notes, he said the eternal... eternal struggle of living in the modern world while hiding their alter ego of being a werewolf. Yeah, he did an excellent job of capturing that duality of life and being in the position of being a werewolf, waiting for that full moon once a month and letting it all go and then having to come back as a man the following morning. Yeah, very epic, right? What did you think, Socrates?
I love how this poem is all about, like, him being the werewolf. It's not really, like, anything besides, like, his own vision of himself. Usually when you hear, like, you know, what people think of you as a werewolf, this is, like, his internal battle, which I really think is amazing. He did a great job, like, writing, like, a diary of a werewolf kind of thing. It's beautiful. I really like the line, where is it at? I turn and gaze in the mirror at my reflection. I see flowing silver black fur, amber glowing eyes with a powerful rippling corded muscles underneath, my true shape beneath my human disguise. He just like dives straight into like the just, I would say beautiful. I'm not sure what he thinks of it, but we're just going to say the transformation. I think he goes really into detail on this transformation. It's just so well, nicely done with a mirror as the thing that's reflecting it. Great poem, 10 out of 10.
Great comment, thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, that was an awesome comment, by the way, Socrates. I liked the same stanza you liked. I was drawn towards that one, too. And, I like it that it's all about, his struggle with, you know, being a werewolf and living in the human world a bit. You know, like he says in the last stanza, both of the animal kingdom and of humanity coexisting between two different worlds. He just dived in Socrates said. You know, I just dived into the whole thing and made it really, you know, believable. And, an amazing lines and amazing right here. Bravo.
Absolutely. Thank you, Naomi. And Fallon, what did you think?
The pieces or the stanzas that stood out to me mostly was once a month in primary form, I get to be me in the forest, run, hunt, howl with the moon. Sadly, time moves far much too quickly. Night's exhilaration closes, slips away too soon. And before you read his A&N or her A&N, I too stated, you know, life is the same, it's too quickly, and it is. And I think this is just basically be yourself, no matter the monster inside or not, you know, that one chance you could be yourself, try to live in that moment, relish it, and don't ever take it for granted, because it too shall come and pass. So I think this is a great dark right, but at the same time, I think it's got a lot of wisdom and knowledge in it. So an excellent right. Well polished.
Great comment. Thank you, Naomi. And Paul, what are your thoughts?
I was Fallon.
Oh, sorry.
That's all of us, I think, Gray. We all, unless you want us to go again, we will.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
All right. So would you mind reading Ima Rima's poem, Socrates?
Do you want me to comment on this poem really quick?
Yeah.
Oh, sure,
let me just...
oh yeah.
Wait.
I don't mean... Yeah, I just
want to...
Okay, I didn't mean to interject there. I just want to say that this is another incredible write here. You know, we talk about, we know the mythology of the werewolf there. We know, you know, there's a sense of the internal battle, you know, with the, you know, being human, one side being human, the other side being the wolf. And I think he did a fantastic job of just displaying the inner struggle of what one has to, you know, endure, you know. I know this is using the background of the werewolf, but I do agree, you know, there is an eternal struggle in our modern world as well as humans to relate to each other. And I think it was a fantastic poem. I think that analogy there was very much very vivid in this poem.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Frank. Thank you. Okay, Socrates, are you ready?
Sure thing. So this guy's name is Ima Rima. Not Rima Rima.
It's a girl, I think.
Date rape. Vampire or werewolf, which to date? A tough choice for a gal to make, assuming that the beast is straight and not just one more macho fleek. And assuming the dates at night, because we know that a vampire smokes when caught out in the bright sunlight. And werewolves being full moon blokes, that would be a to-do to check. A gal's prom is a one-time thing, so go girl with one, what the heck. Might as well have a drop-dead fling. Normal dude date likely a dud. Slim chance of ripped flesh or drained blood. End of...
That's so
cool. Full of energy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It answers many questions.
Yeah, it is. So girl, go with one, what the heck? Might as well have a drop-dead fling. Normal dude, date likely a dud. Slim chance of ripped flesh or drained blood. I mean, you know, when you're after that, you're not going to find that in your average Joe for sure. And, you know, it was a fantastic right? Very, very engaging and humorous.
I just realized
what did
it's
you
not
think,
called date rates. I totally misunderstood what it was called.
Yeah, date rate.
Right. Okay. I think this is a you know, really cool poem. I mean, it's very fast paced. It tripped me up a bit. Which to date, vampire or werewolf? You know, like that's a good question. You know, like which one do you think would be better? The one that's smooth and quiet, or the one that's muscular and wild? You know. So I think that's a very good question. Excellent poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Socrates. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
I just love this, you know. You go, girl. Yeah, she's just laughing at, you know, the, you know, of course, vampires, they smoke when they're caught out in the bright sunlight. Yeah, they just go to pieces. They smoke for sure. And werewolves being full moon blokes, you know, what has a girl got to do? You know, just, you know, might as well have a drop dead fling. Why not? Get a regular dude. And, you know, you'd have a slim chance of ripped flesh or drained blood, that's for sure. So, yeah, I just laughed all through this one. Amazing, right?
Excellent comment, Naomi. Thank you. And, Bella, what are your thoughts?
Oh, what is a girl to do? I think I would have to, like, skip out on both of them and take one to the prom and the other one to the after party. You know, maybe take the Dracula to the prom because I bet he can dance and move around because, the werewolf's not going to be too light on his feet and not something to show off. But he's going to be one hell of a party beast. he'll get down at the party. But, you know, it depends on how, if you like it, if you like the passion or you like it rough. So I just pick both. You get both. You like a double scoop, I guess you'd say. So this is hilarious, dark, and it was just absolutely funny. I loved it. Great job.
Excellent comment, Bellin. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought the poem was witty. I like the humor in this piece here. You know, that aspect of you know, choosing a werewolf or a vampire, which I can understand can be very seductive there. But I also got that feeling there when she talked about the prom, the song came up to me, the Monster Mash there. So I was thinking there when I thought about this, when I heard this poem here. But overall, the poem was, although it's brief, it was very humorous, I would say. And it was a great poem there.
Great comment, Frank. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Naomi, I have your poem up whenever you're ready.
Okay, this is Vampirish Depravity. I watch you suckling her neck, your hands slithering around, groping, cupping your lover's swollen breasts, so ripe and hard. Shameless in a crowded room, the moist scarlet stain on your lips leaving her skin. I absorb you in wholly. Love the way you tilt your head, dangle as you bite into her milky flesh, softly closing your eyes, moving in so slowly. I stand paralyzed, euphoric in your smell that lingers throughout the room, from your dress to your steps, to your breath, the scent of you that drifts from the curves of your lover's steaming body. Count the times you run your fingers through her hair while listening to your tongues eating out each other's mouth. Hypnotized as you gracefully waltz in and out an icy wind in midsummer, feeding on the heat of her body, confident, brazen, basking in the sweaty arousal of onlookers, ripping off her clothes, biting, sucking, licking, clawing, grinning wickedly. Oh, my God, yes. I hear you smiling in sweet satisfaction each time she moans. It drives me wild. I'm high and wet on you. You are something I need for myself that I desperately want. My eclipsed pupils widen like the moon, my corrupted mind damp with desire. Please come. Take me, I whisper, down on my knees, crawling to you, begging you to say my name, wanting to hear it spitting out of that mouth of yours. Oh, all the wonders that mouth must perform. I want you to hear me moaning, to taste your disease poisoning my lips, to become yours, begging you on the cold floor, wanting to feel my body writhing as your teeth graze my throat and as your hands trail down, down to rest between my thighs, sending me spiraling, shivering into a world entirely not my own, feeling your fingers dancing inside me, sliding through puddles, finding hidden doorways I thought long gone, me bracing your wrists, fingers encircled tight, moaning through ragged breath. Don't stop, never stop. You are my obsession. I belong to you, forever yours. End poem.
Whoa, that read was amazing. Oh my God, that poem.
Epic read.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was powerful and seductive and deeply engaging. You know, you really pull the reader into this voyeuristic state where he wants to see everything that's going on, and you know, you deliver that. So excellent, right? And a fantastic read, Naomi.
Thank you, Gray.
You bet. Socrates, what did you think?
Yeah, I think we share the same lust for the mouth lust, all the cool things you can do with that. I think that is really beautiful. It just made such a unique story just around the biting and the sucking and the licking, crawling, begging, all that stuff, just for a vampire's love. It's beautiful, you know? I love how the style in this is like there's words that are on the right and then there's words that are on the left. That must have took you so long to do, because I've tried that and you just have to keep editing it until it finally shows up the way you want it to show. This is amazing. 10 out of 10. Beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any comment? And, Ellen, what did you think?
Girl, let me just tell you, I don't know if I'm, I don't know what team I'm on now. You're making me second guess what team I'm on. Maybe I need to switch it.
Yeah, I switched for a bit there. I switched teams.
You did. This is very, very, I was like, oh my God, I don't know what it is. I need something. Is it ice cream? Is it to punch somebody in the face or just pull somebody's hair? What? Give me something. I got to have something to take care of this. I want to say, almost, okay, keep going. I'm almost there. Just, whoa. I was just like pulling the cover up over me, like, oh my God, is anybody else hearing this besides me? Like, oh Lord Jesus. Just wow. You got me. You got me at hello. So yeah, great job.
Got me at hello. Thank you, Ellen.
You're welcome.
great comment, Ellen, thank you. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't know if I can top that there, but I sat in there. I think I got lost there in the hidden doorways there, but from what I read, I don't think a man is necessary in this case tonight for this poem here, but it was... Hey, I admire two women together. I have no problem with that. But I like the whole notion of what you describe here with the seductive aspect to the vampires, you know. We sometimes, you know, when you write poems so sensual like this, in erotic, we're talking about the vampire lore. There is a lot of deep seductive eroticism, you know, whether it's a male or a female vampires. And I think you did a fantastic job just bringing the sensuality, seduction, the eroticism, and you know, your raid was also as well, or, you know, much of that. But you did a fantastic job of bringing those elements of the storyline with the lore, what we know about the eroticism of a vampire or vampires. So I'm just wondering there if I can, do I have to bring any garlic tonight to come to those hidden doorways tonight there, Naomi, or you let
don't
me
bring
in the
garlic.
Window if I tap? Will you let me in if I tap the window there?
Hey, join the party, Frank. Come on.
Oh, there you go. That was a great phone. It was a great phone there. The ambulance. Ambulance here that passed by here. The ambulance passed by. So that tells you the other sirens were on.
Yeah.
It was a great phone.
Great comment, Frank.
Yeah.
Great comment, Frank. Thank you.
Yeah, and I know Pam was here. Pam would say, muy caliente.
Okay, Colin, I'm going to put you right up here.
I don't want to read mine after that.
Oh, you can do it now, Felon.
Mine's going to seem like a Walt Disney movie.
Oh, you can do it.
It's a Bambi. Is it going to be called Bambi?
Do your seductive voice.
I don't have one.
Your seductive voice there.
I don't have that, but here we go. This is my spelling. It's called Color is Hell. Hell highlights the devil's part, fingertips made from ripping men apart, ripping men hard, wrapped in velvet of crimson dead. It's the hue my thirst is fed. Gray overlaid skin of milky sin. You'll see death in a slight grin. Beware, my inner demon starts hissing, caressing along the neck but never kissing. Suckle your spirit from ear to ear until the last breath is near. Existence bleeds life from your eyes. Seduction more than a bite, a modal rise. End poem.
Beautiful read, Felon. And I liked it. I liked the title of the poem. And then you start off with hell highlights to a devil's part. Fingertips made for ripping men hard, wrapped in velvet of crimson dead. You know, just such a powerful poem. And then caressing along the neck but never kissing, suckle your spirit from ear to ear until the last breath is near. Just a beautiful poem. Wonderfully done, Ellen.
Thank you.
Naomi, what did you think, Naomi? Or, sorry, Socrates?
Yeah, I thought this was amazing. I mean, just looking at the picture, I see that little basketball shirt there, you know, just like it's seductive to you, but it's not seductive to the person that's receiving it. It's more like a, you know, like a killer kiss, but you're not actually kissing, you're just biting the neck off slowly until you drain all the blood. It's a very, very vampiric, you know. I think it's very well done, you know. I love the last line that was just like, seduction more than a bite, a mortal rise, you know. You know, turning someone into
a grip.
I think this is beautiful. Great job, Helen.
Thank you, Socrates.
Well,
excellent comment. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, if she's going to rip me apart, there, I'm not going to be talking out her window tonight. There, but I thought the poem was great. I agree with what Socrates said there. You know, it's a very, very vivid poem there. You know, I like the descriptive nature of this poem here. You know, wrapped in velvet of crimson dead, it's the hue that my verse is fed. You did a wonderful job there. And, of course, there is a bit of seduction in this poem here. You know, and I think I was just waiting for that seductive voice there to kick in a bit there, Helen, but you did a fantastic job there.
I don't think
there.
I have one. I've tried it.
Well, you
I'm
never know until you try,
my
dear. Until you try, you never know.
I'll work on it.
There you go. Great poem.
Thank you, Frank. All right, so I'm going to post the next poem here.
Oh, I don't get to comment on the poem?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, this, you know, Felon, this just flows so beautifully and effortlessly, you know, just like a vampire drifting across the floor, you know, the rhythm and the rhyme in it is just so divine. Suckle your spirit from ear to ear until the last breath is near. Existence bleeds life from your eyes. Seduction more than a bite, a mortal rise. I just love that ending. But of course, you know, the lines that that others stated too, you know, with the, you know, the fingertips made for ripping men hard, wrapped in velvet of crimson dead. It's the you that my thirst is fed. You know, just amazing all the way through, Felon. You know, a stunning write here. Just beautiful, beautifully written all the way through.
Thank you. I had to write something right quick for the show before it started, so I just threw that together. So.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Takes me a week
to write a piece. No, it takes me like 5 minutes. But, yeah, I thank you. But it was nothing like yours, that's for sure. If I spent time, maybe I could do something like that. But, wow. Still,
there you
still
go.
Yours.
Motivation. That's all you need there.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
You got the spirit.
Sorry, Frank. Go ahead.
No, it's Pee-wee.
Okay.
Oh, no, Socrates, I'm sorry. That's Socrates, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Socrates. So, Socrates, what did you think?
Oh, which one? I already commented. I was the first person to comment.
Okay. I thought Frank
you can go again.
Oh, no, he was going to say something. He was going to say something,
oh,
Socrates. I don't know.
Oh no, it's
okay.
Cool. I wasn't gonna say anything. It's cool. I'm good. You know, I was adding that she has a lot of spirit, and I think that you have plenty of motivation. You know, you're fine. I think you did a great job on that poem. Is all
Aww,
I was trying to say.
Thank you, Sarkar.
You're welcome.
Great comment. Thank you. Okay, Frank, I've got Lady Femora Soul Weaver up. If you wouldn't mind, please.
Hello. I'm not sure I was going to do a female voice, but I guess I'll stay to my regular voice here. Since it's Lady Femora Soul Weaver there. It's called Little Miss Witch, so it goes like this. She likes to wear pointy hats, keeps black cats in voodoo dolls. When the night comes on, creeping, you can hear her howling as she crawls across shuttle ground as a wild animal.
the heart's content can be found within the black projector which she casts. She will put a seductress spell on you. With how she rides her wooden broom, licking her lips with thick debauchery, she teases in erotic chords deep in hearts of unsuspecting men and women alike. Deviant affection comes at a price. A little Miss Witch will damn your soul. In the poem.
Great read, Frank.
Great.
Well, and some of your female voice.
Great read, Frank, and an excellent right, Lady Femora, Soul Weaver. You captured the essence of this witch quite beautifully, and it was powerfully presented. I really like the stanza where you say, she will put a seductress spell on you with how she rides her wooden broom, licking her lips with thick debauchery. She teases erotic chords deep in hearts of unsuspecting men and women alike. When somebody has that kind of power, that's powerful stuff. Socrates, what did you think? Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, I was drawn to that same stanza as you, Gray. Yeah, just amazing, licking her lips with thick debauchery. And by the way, Frank, wow, that was an excellent read. Amazing. She teases erotic chords deep in hearts of unsuspecting men and women alike. Her deviant affection comes at a price. This little Miss Witch will damn your soul. Just an excellent exit right all through. Love the black cats and the voodoo dolls and the pointy hats. So amazing, amazing, amazing.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Felon, what did you think?
Oh, this is a very clever write. For one, the simple fact that she's a switch hitter too. She don't care if it's man or women, either one. She'll take both. Because usually witches are pretty damn ugly, so she's probably ugly. She's probably ugly, so she's going to take whatever she can get. But what really stuck out to me is when the night comes on, creeping, you can hear her howling as she crawls across the shattered ground of a wild animal. Her heart's content can be found within the black magic within which she casts. This is very very dark as well, and anybody that plays with voodoo dolls and black cats on a regular, I think I would just kind of, if you see them in their living room, I would just exit and go on out. And especially if they have more than one room in each room, that's another hint. So, or pointed hats. But this is an excellent write and very dark and very seductive too.
Absolutely, great comment, Ellen. Thank you. Frank, you read it. What did you think?
Oh yes, I thought it was a fantastic poem there. It's not was a lengthy poem. But it did have the elements. Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Did I drop?
Yeah.
Sorry, yes, we can.
Okay.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
I just thought it was a fantastic write. I like the notion of what she describes here with the elements of the black cats, the voodoo dolls, the black magic. I'm sorry, it's so late at night. I'm having trouble just pronouncing words there. And I like the seduction there, and of course the reference there to the unsuspecting men and women. That was something very sensual in that piece there. And one quick thing, my roommate is a ventriloquist, one of them, so he has a ventriloquist doll in his wardrobe or closet. So that's just a little thing there, if I can say there, Felon.
Oh, that would be kind of freaky.
Well, you get used to it there. Yeah?
I don't want to hang up my butt.
Great comment, everybody. Okay, Socrates, I have your write up whenever you're ready.
You can get used to it. All right, so I'll read this. It's called A Werecat Howling Hiss by me. Boozing like a bloody pirate, boozing with a mouth full of iris. She sleeps half naked, breasts
shape-shifting, wake-up sacred, eyes like a duke of hell, lips dry and wasted. I kiss, scratching the chin, eyes bulge, letters spent in instinct, werecat functions, impulse. Desire overtakes our werecat bodies, slamming, breaking, shattering bottles of scabby. Deliciously treat those moons into submission with a sensitive scream, a hissing howl of corsair flesh. Lesser keys summon the beast of love into our lightning vapor breath. Scintillating acrobatic science, nurture a humanic death. True passion's first kiss, midnight tongue stay forever cats, for the Duke's spell has been lift. End poem.
Excellent read. And a fantastic poem. I mean, you know, we don't think of werecats too often, but you really brought this to life with the poem that you read. I kiss, scratching the chin, eyes bulge, letters bent in instinct. Werecat functions, impulse, desire takes over our werecat bodies, slamming, breaking, shattering bottles of scabby. Deliciously treat those moons into submission with a sensitive scream, a hissing howl of corsair flesh. Lesser keys summon the beast of love into our lightning vapor breath. Yeah, epic lines. Beautifully read. Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, yeah. I'd repeat those lines that you just said them all. Great. So, yeah, I liked that, those same lines, especially, you know, the slamming, breaking, shattering bottles of scabby. You know, deliciously treat those moons. That's awesome. Those moons into submission. That's really awesome there, with a sensitive scream, a hissing howl of corsair flesh. And, you know, and towards the end too, you know, midnight tongue, stay together, catch, for the Duke's spells has been lift. You know, really, really, sensual and well-written piece here, Socrates. You know, I really, really, really like this poem. Yeah, awesome, awesome, right?
Thank you so
great
much.
Great comment, Naomi, thank you. And Fallon, what did you think?
Well, I'll be darned there, Socrates, you just took me by the horns. This is just very well written, and the you got me, brother. The cadence on it is just spot on. Now, this is what you need to bring to the rap battles, brother. Like this, the cadence and the lines run so smoothly, and it flows, and then it's very impactful. It's very powerful, seductive. I'm just amazed. I'm in love with it. Great job.
Thank you so much,
Frank. Well, fantastic. Thank you. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I mean, I do have to admit I don't know much about the werecat lore or the mystery behind it, but I think you did a fantastic job with the prompt itself. You brought it, you know, to a very seductive level here. You give us a storyline there with the Duke of Hell, but then the seduction just drips on from the you know, the shattering bottles, the sensitive scream, the hissing howl, the beast of the vapor breath, the scintillating acrobatic science. You know, anytime you've got anything acrobatic with me and sensuality is just fine with me there. But I like the way you talk about the midnight tongues, they forever cats. But I think, you know, if one thing I've learned about creatures, in particular cats and dogs, they're very amorous as well. They're very, you know, we don't think they're affectionate, but they do tend to be very sensual with each other. So you made me think about that tonight, my friend. So quite poem there.
Great comment, Frank. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, I've got the next poem up. This is by Grant G. It's called Ladies and Gents. It is to the mannerisms of every vampire, mortal people sway. The smartest women and men have fallen for that seductive bow of curtsy before becoming prey. Black eyes, I guess, deceive them with twinkling reddened rays. Mesmerized and hypnotized as if a dancing snake. God forsake those who have taken by a gentle, who have been taken by a gentle kiss that's fake. Violence played in background. Candles burn away. Moon hangs outside. Windows are shuttered or thick red velvet draped. Ravens fly free in their apartments. Rats crawl with poisonous snakes. Well, That was a fantastic telling of the vampire and his power and his prowess. Yeah, just a beautiful write. I really liked it. Totally engaging. What did you think, Socrates?
Wow, this is just, you know, the whole, I don't think this is about vampires. I think this is about, like, you know, like, mutated animals at this point. I mean, just like, you know, like the ravens fly free in their apartments, you know, rats crawl with poisonous snakes, black eyes, I guess, deceive them with twinkling red and rays. It's just, this is quite a fantasy world that he wrote. It reminds me of, like, a Neil Gaiman book, almost, you know. It's very, very well done. And I do love the first line. It's to the mannerisms of every vampire mortal people sway. The smartest woman and men have fallen for that sucked about curtsy before it becoming prey. Yeah, that line just speaks volumes. I still want to believe that it's not specifically about vampires, but first line definitely seems to say that. Very well done. Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you, Socrates. And Felon, what are your thoughts?
Oh, let me get back to it. Of course, you had a... Okay, here we go. What really stood out to me is the part where here it says, black eyes, I guess, deceive them. The twinkling red rays mesmerize and hypnotize as if a dancing snake. Wow. That's awesome. I mean, you know, Grant is a different breed. He always brings it to the table, and he did tonight as well. So excellent job there, Mr. Grant. Enjoyed it a great deal.
Absolutely. Great comment, Felon. Thank you. Oh, I don't know what that is. Messages. All right, I'll repost the link here once I get it.
Frank left?
Yeah, he did.
Frank left, and Naomi left as well.
So this is us?
Yeah.
Woo, woo.
All right, so I've got the next poem here. This is
it
by
just
Robert
says
M.
Mentioned.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
And he has a SoundCloud, so I'll play that.
This is my recital of crimson carnality. Ah, there is the true goddess of the night, the moon, suspended in all of her radiant splendor. It has been a while since I have had a good hunt and a light of her soothing glow. The prey here is sparse at best and does not sate my appetite for excitement. But what's this? Someone foolish enough to enter in my woods. Maybe it is another fool come to test his mettle, or some poor wandering soul who will find death as the price of their folly. Interesting. It is but a maiden, clad in crimson garments, a sweet little morsel to fuel me for the true hunt. I stalk from the treetops, silent, blending with the night, merely a shadow of the breeze that grazes the leaves. She pauses to look around. Now is my chance. Ah, beneath the hood is a splendid specimen hidden, so pale and fresh, delightfully shivering in terror. Her emerald, tear-riddled eyes glisten so beautifully when kissed by the moonlight. Her wrist pinned above her head, her body at my mercy. I begin to explore further what lay beneath those humbling garments. Is it from fear do you tremble, or does the lack of power fuel your carnality as it does mine? Oh, I can smell it on you, exuding from every pore and orifice. Is it the warmth of my breath that ignites you as I trace your body in exploration? or the feel of your wrists being pinned as I slice off your buttons one by one. In the hours that followed, moans, screams, growls, and howls can be heard echoing through the woods. In the aftermath, the broken specimen lay cradled in their lover's arms. She embraces my worn body in its human reversion and strokes my hair as I lay helpless upon her bosom. A smile is cast across her face with her eyes lost in debaucherous thoughts that await me in the morrow.
Well, what an epic presentation. Epic presentation of, you know, the Little Red Riding Hood story. I can smell it on you, exuding from every pore and orifice. It is the warmth of my breath that glistens, that ignites you as I trace your body in exploration, or the feel of your wrists being pinned as I slice off your buttons one by one. I mean, that's deeply engaging and erotic, passionate and powerful, right? What did you think, Socrates?
Oh, I thought this was amazing. I love this, the Red Riding Hood twist, you know, thinking ahead, like, maybe he's going to play as her father or someone instead of the grandma, you know? I don't know, but this is amazing. I mean, just like the emotion behind this, the sniffing, the what's this? You know, this is very, he's a stalker, but I mean, like, he gets up and, like, through his sheer just seductive powers, like, melts her skin. It's very beautiful. I love this poem. If I had to rate my favorite line, I'd say it's at the very end. In the hours that followed, moans, screams, growls, and howls could be heard echoing through the woods. You know, that's where the climax of the passion is, and it's always my favorite part. Beautiful. Well done.
Great comment. Thank you. And Felon, what did you think?
I think, thick eyes you have. I was going to say something else, but I held that one back. This is a before midnight show. But, yeah, this is a very, very seductive ride. And I like how he did remove the buttons, but yet he did spare her, instead of eating her up, well, in more than one way, he chose to let her live and you know, and have that moment with her in the actual state of being a man. So I think I would went rogue on her if I was him. Sorry.
Yeah.
I think my night medicine's kicking in. I'm getting
chilly.
She was
picking strawberries, right?
Sorry.
That was a wonderful moment.
Yeah.
And I bet the next poem up, we were a little bit short on time, but we should be able to squeeze it in here. No, we'll play the SoundCloud. Let's find it. There it is, man.
Mars, she said, not Venus. Might as well have been on Mars. What looked like pretty paisley cold from the air turned out to be hellhole heated, sculpted desert dunes swirl. Temperamental scorpions, vipers, spurs, slobbering hyenas, grand iron red sand dunes cajole. On the verge of heat stroke epiphany, he cursed her ultimatum. Mars, she cried, not Venus. Go to the desert. Find yourself. Find your werewolf alter ego. Face your true itself. Cut down to our size by blowtorch, desert wind scorch, burn-strewn cave only refuge, meager wood for fire against night chill. Sad sack settled in, weird sand bushman rock paintings in red ochre. Thick figures bow down before a wolf-like creature. Mars, not Venus, certainly not a hyena, this effigy thing. Must be heat stroke setting in. Cold sweat sneaks down his spine. If only he could locate the famous elephant. Photograph them tomorrow. Sluice gate sorrow suddenly lets rip. Get a grip on yourself. Sad sack plays the macho card. Elephant whisperer Venus was emphatic. In India, the elephants recognized her. Telepathic communication. Intuition, who knows? She knew, but his skepticism wore her down. Mars, not Venus, a last sorrowful plea. Alone in a desert cave on All Hallows' Eve, sad sack drifts off. Foul stench of slobbering hyena breath somewhere. Sickly yelps, yaps, pan in and out. On the verge of total collapse, the stick figures on the cave wall become animated. Electric shocks riddle his body like the time lightning nicked him. One by one, they jump off the rock wall. Makeshift spears thrust towards his cowering carcass terror. Their tongue-click communication confuses him. Bewildered, he is thrust towards the black thing depicted on the cave wall. By elbows, crooked hook, his soaked clothing is ripped into shreds. High-voltage spine arcs him into another dimension. Light filaments shoot through his eyes. Mars, not Venus. Are the Bushmen hunters offering themselves as a sacrifice? Once, in India, she guided an elephant female through a difficult carving. How did you do that? Telepathy, empathy, intuition, besotted by her beauty, her mysticism, it all went over his head. The owner named the cow Venus. Collapse into delirium. 13 hunters disintegrate before his blood-shot eyes. Shutter-shock irises record 13 newborn elephant cubs. Unafraid of his werewolf alter ego, they turn to Ganesh on the cave wall. Silver-faced elephant god of wisdom, the lord of good fortune, and obstacle remover, she insisted that was their 13th anniversary gift. Info.
Hello?
You there, Greg?
I'm sorry, no, that was an epic read, and And right, it had his voice is so charming, you know, it really lulls you into the right, and you can feel each line as he reads it. Just a brilliant production. Excellent write, excellent read. What did you think, Socrates?
I think this is a story about finding, like having an epiphany, as you said, you know, and finding out that you no longer have to, you know, be such a simp, is what I was getting at. Venus is the god of love. Mars is the god of war. Feel like for his 13th anniversary, this is just my hypothesis because this is very hard to follow, that he became something that she wanted for him to be all along, his alter ego, his werewolf form, you know, his demonic side to his good nature, you know. I think this is a really good write, but I hope I got what actually happened. And that's my comment.
And a great comment it was. Thank you. Felon, what did you think?
Oh, this is a great write by Eric. What I gathered from it, I too gathered that it's a relationship. And it starts off, you know, he's a beast, and the writing's on the wall, and that's where, you know, the hunt happens. As what the writing's on the wall is that he's actually cheating on her, and he's going to see other women, I'm sure, because that's the beast within, and that's the hyena as well, you know, the laughing hyena, just making an ass out of himself. And yet, you know, he's looking for that picture of the elephant, and the elephant speaks of prosperity, and especially if its trunk is up. So that, to me, it states that, you know, after so long, he finally sees that she was able to, within all of the things, all the tunnels that he took her down all these years, you know, him being a beast that he is, that finally, you know, telepathically, or he said, however she did, got the elephant through the cave, is because she brought the prosperity through all of his bull crap, you know, and they made it to the other side, and yet he graced her with the silver-faced elephant as a 13th year wedding gift. So that's just absolutely stunning the way he put that. Excellent, right?
Great comment, Bella. Sure. Thank you. Well, I'd like to thank you both for calling in and joining me tonight. I appreciate your time. Great comment, reads and writes. Much love, everybody. Good night, all.
Yeah. Good night.